Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, also you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. You and me, I and you. Repeat it with me. You and me, I and you. Again, with conviction. You and me, I and you. This is Jesus' message of good news for us today. You and me, I and you. And no matter what the future holds, this message tells us we will never be alone. You and me, I and you. We together are the body of Christ. We are not alone. You and me, I and you. We have purpose and meaning to life because we are loved by God. You and me, I in you. We have purpose and meaning in our life to live because God loves us. And the natural outcome is what we would love God and love one another with. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You and me, I and you. It's the message today. In my studies this week for this text, I came across an audio message on a homiletics website for one of the universities. And I listened to the academics talking about Islam. One talked about how Islam became such a political force in the Middle East. He told of the dictatorships back in the 1950s who had promised economic growth and jobs for the young people if they would just move to the cities. People moved. And the jobs didn't happen. The people were angry. The people felt betrayed. Then in 1967, war was also an important factor in this conversation because the entire Arab world was, or at least felt, humiliated. That part of the world was faced with millions of people without work, feeling betrayed, looking for meaning to life, and wanting to find a way to make a difference in their world. Islam filled the gap, providing purpose and expectations, leadership, and most importantly, a place of community. Purpose beyond their meager existence. Here was a structure around which to build their lives and, yes, even a cause to die for. And as I listened to that, I thought, in many ways, this is the picture of our society today. We've labeled them millennials because we have masses of young people right here in Royal Oak congregating in our city and beyond without much hope of satisfying work, seeing little meaning to their lives, yet yearning to belong to something beyond themselves and somewhere to put their passion and energy. We know about this. We read about it. We hear them say it to us. Wanting somehow to make a difference in your world and in their world. Young people wanting to be noticed, so they do crazy things like dye their hair green and pierce their bodies and cover themselves with tattoos, all just to be noticed. This much I know to be true. People everywhere, regardless of age, are looking for community, a place to be together. Now, we're told that this is the most spiritual time in the world, that the world has ever seen, this now. People are looking everywhere for spiritual connections. We've coined that phrase, spiritual but not religious, which is a different sermon. But we've got that whole spiritual connection to be connected to some power greater than themselves. And that is the millennials. They say that openly. They want to be connected to something greater than themselves. And there are all kinds of self-help books that promise to connect you to something beyond yourself. They've read them. They know. People are willing to buy books that expect the most bizarre of discipline in the hope of finding spiritual meaning in their lives, a connection beyond their existence. Folks, people are hungry. People are hungry for the good news. People everywhere are looking for ways to be connected in community in a world that is so isolating. Oh, I know I've got 750,000 hits on my Facebook page or whatever, and therefore I'm not really isolated. Yeah, you are, if this is your only relationship staring in a screen. We live in a day and age where the world is available to us, and yet it's so isolating. People are looking for something meaningful to be a part of, the desire to make a difference in their world. Some people are truly looking for something worth dying for. Where do they look? Where are they to find the meaning, the hope that they crave? And into such a world as ours, this day, comes today's text, you and me, I in you. This is what the world is looking for. This is what the world so desperately seeks, an unbelievable, intimate connection with God. An unbelievable, intimate relationship connection with God. Jesus, who we believe to be the way, the truth, and the life, comes to us and promises us that we will never be alone, that we will know God, that we will find purpose in sharing the love that we have experienced, a mission worth dying for, you in me and I in you. The tragedy is that the Christian church as we know it isn't even on the radar screen. They're not looking here. How come? We sing words in our liturgy like, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. But where does that message get lost in us? We're sent out every Sunday. Every Sunday we are sent out into the world to proclaim that in Jesus Christ we are to find life in all abundance, love, hope, and a future. Why is this message not getting to those who need it most? Do you put it in your mailboxes when you leave? Should we take those down so you've got to take it with you? Are we having trouble believing it ourselves? Do we need to rediscover the you in me and I in you? When we know that we're loved, we will look upon others with grace and acceptance, unconditional, agape, which we talked about last week. When we know community, We will want others to know the same community. Wouldn't it be marvelous if all of those vacant spots out there were full? Don't we want them to be? Don't we want others to know the community that you guys have? That we have? When we experience God who loves us as we are, the grace that is showered upon us, we will want to share the same with those desperate for the same acceptance. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," you ever think about what you're praying when we just kind of off to the top of our head, "Our Father who art in heaven," and we kind of write and we just know the words? But do you ever think about the words? "Forgive me my sins the way I forgive others their sins upon me." When we pray that prayer, "Thy kingdom come," with this "you and me," "I and you" running through our minds, we can also pray, "Help me, Lord, to spread your joy and kindness and shine your light in the lives of my family, my friends, and everyone I meet today." Yet the sinner in each of us, and we're not exempt, the sinner of each of us wants only to dwell upon the negative, to get caught up in our own little world with little concern for the others. The sinner in us sees the gospel as something to be kept inside these walls without any need to take the message of hope to the world in which we all live. It is the sin within the church that has kept the gospel a well-kept secret that it has become. We get so caught up in our way of doing things that we forget that our task is to share God's love with everyone. Everyone who is in need of that. My father used to say to me years ago, "I don't need to go to church every Sunday. I can worship in the garage." And I said, "Yeah, you can, but that's not what I see you doing out there or hear you saying." I said, "You need to be in church every Sunday so that God can use you." Many years later, they retired and moved to Florida. And I'm sorry, up to St. Helens when this event happened. And they were in church, mother and he, and a young woman was down at the end of the pew from them. And when it came time to share the peace, Dad went down and just said, "Jesus loves you," and gave her a hug. That's all he said. Just like he did everybody else that he greeted that day. After worship, that woman found my mother and father and said, "Up until the moment you touched me and shared God's love with me, I didn't feel very lovable." See, when we're not doing what God asks us to do, we're denying God the ability to use us to share that gospel news. We deny God the ability to use us to share his love to everyone in need. I sometimes myself need to remember that all people truly are a gift from God, created for a purpose, not one that I have to understand. And I need to remember you and me and I and you. And to think that way, to think you and me and I and you in the presence of someone with green hair and tattoos and piercings, changes how I will relate to that person. Here's a person created by God who wants to be noticed and who wants to be loved. Sin makes the love of God seem commonplace and something that we earn and therefore not to be shared. This we can take for granted, the love of God. But what we should be doing is treasuring it. Can you imagine what it would look like if the world was filled with a people who lived in an environment of grace and unconditional love? Can you just imagine that? Everywhere you go, a safe space environment A safe space environment that would encourage us to be honest enough to work on our own stuff. It would give us the freedom to tell the truth of who we really are inside. This is what the church is supposed to be. Imagine if we could come here without the forced smile that keeps our pain locked inside because we don't dare to let it out. Imagine if the people around you, around us, were to see our church as that kind of a safe place. That's who we're called to be. That's whom we are created and empowered to be because of the love of God in Christ Jesus. You and me, I and you. And folks, your age has nothing to do with it. You're not exempt from sharing the love of God in Christ Jesus because you're the older generation. You're not exempt. God loves you just as much as He loves baby Hutch. And He wants you to share that love. Just the way when we all stare at Hutch and play with him and Google over him, we demonstrate that kind of love back at him. It's that kind of community. We have the gift of being part of the kingdom of God happening now. The kingdom of God isn't some place in the distance that when we die we follow the light to and there's the party going on. That kingdom of God exists now. And it exists all around us. And we have the gift of being invited and being a part of that kingdom. We're given basically one command, to go as we have been sent. To go as we have been sent. Just as Jesus came as He was sent, and to make the Father known. I know it can be frightening. Believe me, I do. And it can seem an insurmountable task. But Jesus assures us of His love and His presence. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, and know that I will be with you till the end of the age. We will not be left orphaned. He has sent us the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, to help name the sin that creeps in and hinders us from being the people we're created to be. The sin within us that hinders our ability to clearly point others to the love of God. You and me, I and you. Let that be your mantra this week. Let it run through your mind all week long. Let it run through your thoughts as you deal with that particular difficult person this week and see how it changes your perception and your relationship. You may be the person he or she needs to have the love of God open to them. Remember that many of the people you will meet are looking for a purpose in life, just like you are. That they desperately seek others with whom to share their life. And remember that we all deep down want something worthy of dying for. Remember that Jesus cared enough about us that He would die for us. Remember that the love of God is God's gift to all of us, and it can power our lives and give us meaning in life worth dying for. Oh, it'll change your life. It will change your life. And just maybe it'll allow God to change someone else's life as well. You and me, I and you. Amen. Please join me in singing our hymn of the day, which is an insert in your bulletin, Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God.